The reading of God's Word. Today's passage is coming from Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 13. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me by testing me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with this generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they did not know my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brethren, that there not be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Thank you. Please be seated.
The psalmist writes in Psalm 75, chapter 70, verse 5, that he needed help from God. There is a cry in which he is afflicted by the needs that he has. And it reads something like this, if I were to quote it. You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay. When we're in need, we don't want delays. When we need help, we cry unto God. We need help today. Scripture tells us that he is an ever-present help in our difficult times. Isaiah 46:13 reads, my salvation will not delay. Wonderful text that we oftentimes read there in Romans chapter 10, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus walks into the synagogue in Luke chapter 4, and he reads from the prophet Isaiah, and he turns and he says, today, this has been fulfilled. Today has come. Today is that day of opportunity. Today is that day that says you do not procrastinate. You see, God never had called upon a people to procrastinate, to delay. He has called upon those to respond. In fact, the heart that is real, the heart that is genuine, always responds quickly. I know one of the favorite phrases of people today is, I'm working on it. But there is no such thing as working on it. You decide or you don't. And the delay tactic is really that which reveals a heart that is not real or sincere. Exodus chapter 22, verse 29 reads this way, you shall not delay in the offerings of your harvest. Deuteronomy 23, verse 21, when you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay to pay it, for this would be a sin in you. Psalm 119, verse 60, I hastened, the psalmist says, and I did not delay to keep your commandments. It's one of the reasons why, as Hebrews chapter 3 will tell us, the Spirit of God is saying, today, when you hear his voice. If you look specifically in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, as long as it's still called today. Chapter 3, verse 15, today, if you hear his voice. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 7, he affixes a certain day, today. Chapter 5, verse 5, declaring, you are my son, today I have begotten you. It is a theme in the book of Hebrews. That is to say, it is the sign of the real, the genuine, the true, the lasting. It is today. As we look at this passage, it is in the context of, as the writer of Hebrews has been showing us, that nature of the eternal one, the Son. That which is the nature of endurance. A slave will not endure, but a son will endure. It is the nature of Jesus Christ. And as we've been going through the study in chapter 1 and chapter 2, it continues to build upon this. In fact, as we see in chapter 1, we have the eternal nature of the Son of God. In chapter 2, the absolute salvation of the Son of God, that is to say, Jesus himself. And as we come to chapter 3, we see the faithful Spirit of the Son of God. The faithfulness. It is his Spirit. And as we come in particular to verse 7, it starts off with this one little word, therefore. It is in the Greek, dia, which makes reference to the fact that there is a reason for what he's about to say. And it is the reason in which he has been stating up to this point. That is to say, that we have been called by a faithful Savior to walk in a faithful way. The text reads, if you look in chapter 3, verse 1, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling. That is to say, you and I are called in a very different way to be faithful, continuance. It tells us that Moses, of course, was faithful as a builder of his household, as a servant. But Christ, verse 6, if you read specifically with me, but Christ was faithful as Son over his house. It is for that reason that we pick up in verse 7, therefore. Therefore, because we're called in this sense of faithfulness, that we have a faithful and high priest, that we have a God that will never leave us nor forsake us, as Hebrews will go on to say, therefore, the Holy Spirit is calling you. And what is the Spirit of God telling you? Well, the Spirit of God is telling you that the spirit of faithfulness is the spirit of today. No procrastination. How do I know that the Spirit of God is moving in my heart? How do I know that the Spirit of God is telling me to do something? Because when it's a righteous thing and he calls upon you, he'll move you to do it today. And as you begin to move, that's one of the reasons why we say to you after every service, today you need to come to the Lord, because the Spirit of God is calling you today to do it. He's not telling you, think about this, work through it, wrestle through it. He's saying today. It's the Spirit of God moving in your heart. So as you look at verse 7, let's see how the Spirit of God moves. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says. Now, once again, I want to remind you that the Holy Spirit is very unique in the sense that he is literally the Spirit of God's Son. We see that in particular in Romans chapter 8. Verse 15, Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, we have received not the spirit, as Romans 8 says, of fear, but we've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry out, Abba, Father, the Spirit of God's Son. And as Galatians 4, 6 says, we have the Spirit of God's Son within us that cries out, Abba, Father. It is the Spirit of God's Son. Now, I want you to back up into verse 6, because if the Spirit of God's Son is the Spirit of Christ, then it is the Spirit of faithfulness. He is the Spirit of faithfulness, right? He is faithful in all these things. Christ was faithful in all these things, therefore. So when God told the Son to do something, when did Christ do it? Today. Today I have begotten you. Today he begins to minister. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear, listen to the phrase, his voice. Why doesn't he talk about the words? Because what he's appealing to is the heart. Scripture is telling us that the Spirit of God is moving within your heart. That if, in fact, you've received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Spirit of God moves in your heart and he begins to talk to you. He begins to talk to you. Not audibly. But you can hear him say, you need to get that thing right. When? Today. You can hear him talking to you, moving you to do those things that God has called you to do in that faithful response of God's Son. The scripture says, today if you hear his voice, the inflections of his voice. I can tell. You know, there are a lot of voices that play in our head. A lot of them are angry and hostile. A lot of them are vindictive. But that's not the voice of my Savior. But I recognize the voice of my Savior. And it's very clear. It's like John chapter 10. My sheep hear my voice. They recognize that inflection. That's Jesus talking to me. That's me talking to me. That's somebody else talking to me. But that's Christ talking to me. I recognize today, if you hear his voice, you know what his voice is. I know what his voice is. Do not harden your hearts. How do you harden your hearts? By procrastination. By putting it off. By saying, you know what? I'll work on that. That begins because every moment of delay is a moment of hardening. Every moment of hardening. That is not the spirit of faithfulness. Do not harden your hearts when they provoked me, as he begins to actually quote this Psalm 95, which is actually a reflection of the Exodus and the people grumbling and complaining. There's an interesting passage, if you'll turn with me to 1 Corinthians in chapter 10, that in some way capsulizes those times in which the children of Israel were in that desert and had all those wonderful signs given to them. Which is interesting because in spite of all those signs, they wandered away. And I know that people oftentimes say, well, if I had all the signs, if God gave me all the evidence, then I would certainly follow him. And so God says, okay, so let me give you an example of when that didn't work out. In fact, how do we know that God has given us an example? Because I think he actually says it within the text. All these things were written as examples. So if you look at 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 6, now these things happened as what? Examples. So, okay, so he's going to give us an example. For all of us who think that, okay, I just need a big sign. So, okay, we'll give you a big sign. Sign of the children of Israel. So you look in chapter 10, verse 1, for I don't want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea. That's a pretty big sign when you think about it. You know, waters parting and people walking in it and those walls holding up and then the Pharaoh and all of his army drowning in it. That's a pretty big sign. It's a pretty big sign that a cloud is leading you. A cloud is leading you. And the cloud is providing that cool in the day, and it's going to provide as a glowing light in the evening. I mean, that's a pretty big sign. The text reads that they were all even baptized, if you look within the text of verse 2, into Moses. So I didn't know if you thought that Moses was a baptizer or not, but Moses was a baptizer. And they were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. That is to say that there was a baptism of faith of sorts. What is that? Well, there was a cleansing that took place. It's an interesting symbol. As you go through water, there's always a sign of cleansing. Baptism is kind of that washing. What's being washed? Well, they're walking by faith through this place in which they have to totally trust in God. And that, once you start walking by faith, you're almost instantly washed because you're putting all your trust in God. You're not putting your trust in you or anything that you could do. And he says there was a washing that took place as they began to go. They benefited from that washing. They saw the power of God. They saw the hand of God. And they were all baptized, it says in verse 2, in Moses in the cloud and the sea. And on top of that, verse 3, they all ate the same spiritual food. Not only is he talking about the fact that they received the law of God from the mountain, but they received manna from heaven. Of course, manna meaning what is it? Of course, nobody knew what it was, so that's what they call it, manna. So what is this stuff? And, well, it just came out of the skies. Well, that's pretty spiritual, something coming out of the skies. Talk about coming out of the blue. That's what that happened. And they all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from the spiritual rock. Can you imagine? I mean, water coming and refreshment coming from something solid and clearly an unsuspecting source. And yet, the text reads, and the rock was Christ. It's an interesting phrase. Nevertheless, verse 5, you would think that, wow, that okay, now we're all changed. We're all changed people because we saw all these miraculous things. Nevertheless, verse 5, with most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were all laid low in the wilderness. Now, these things happen as examples for us so that we would not crave evil things as they craved. What is he talking about? You see, our thought is that we could hold out, we can do what we need to do if God just supplies us with everything we think we need. If we just get everything that we think we need and God would just show us some great sign and take care of those needs and just instantaneously move on our behalf, then we would have no problem following God. But God says, you know what? The more I give you, the more you crave, the more you want. In fact, when you give people more things, it doesn't make them more loyal. It doesn't cause them to be more loving. It causes them to be more hostile. Now, these things happen that you would not crave evil things as they did, and don't become idolaters as some of them did. They stood up, as it was written, the people sat down to eat and to drink, and they stood up to play. What happened? Well, that's basically Exodus 32, isn't it? And it gives the example when the people saw that Moses delayed, they go, well, this is our opportunity. And it was that moment of delay in which they began to think of the things that they wanted. And they delayed in their following of God, and they pursued their own ways. If you go on, it reads this way in verse 8, nor let us act immorally, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in one day. That's Numbers 24, basically, as we give the example in the text, and they're turning to the Moabites. And verse 9, let us not try the Lord, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the serpents, that the people became impatient and began to grumble. Not only because of the journey became arduous and hard in the desert, but because they weren't eating the same foods that they thought that they should. Nor grumbled as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer, verse 10. Of course, grumbling against God's judgment to his people. Now these things happened to them as an example, and they are written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stand take heed, lest he fall. Then it goes on and says in verse 13 that you're going to have temptations, but God is faithful. See, the tendency is to think that if I have everything that I need and get everything that I need, that I'm going to somehow going to be able to make it through these very difficult times. If God would just give me what I think I need. And God says, it's not going to work. Because the more I give you, the more you crave, and you're not going to become more enduring. You will become less. You'll want more. What is it that would cause a person to have an enduring quality within them? And the argument of this whole case in Hebrews is, unless God puts his faithful spirit in you, you cannot endure. It's impossible to do this. The faith that God declares says today, that means that you're not going to procrastinate. The faith that God gives us says that I'm going to remain faithful daily. That is the faithfulness of God. And the faith that God gives us will not worry when difficult time comes. In fact, as you go through Matthew chapter 6, verse 34 in particular, it says, don't even worry about tomorrow. It has enough cares of its own. But today, you be faithful today. The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So we read the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. What would cause me to trust him today, for this day, for each and every day? That's the Spirit of God within me. And there is something within me that says, I will not grumble and complain today. Though I don't get what I want, though things aren't working the way that I think they should, the Spirit of God says, you will not grumble today. I will not complain about what God has done and is doing in my life today. I will forgive today. That is the Spirit of God's Son. If you look with me at Hebrews chapter 3, it is this example that he has given us, and it is actually this that he is pulling out from the Old Testament in Hebrews chapter 3, and in particular as he begins to describe it in verse 8. Do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. As in the days of the trials of the wilderness. The trials of the wilderness, what an interesting picture. It's the difficult times in your life. It's the days which things are not going your way. It's the time of dryness. It's the time in which you feel like perhaps you should be getting more or having more, or things should be better. And before long, instead of today trusting God, you begin to work through your whole life in your head. This isn't going to work. This isn't going to work. And before long, you're just in so far into the future that it becomes such a quagmire that it's impossible for you to perceive how in any way this could be a good thing today. But faith takes only today. And it says, I don't know about tomorrow. That's in his hands. But I do know about today, and today if I will obey him, today if I will trust in him, today if I will believe in him, today I know that he will be faithful, today. Connie and I remember times in our own life in which it seemed like if we were looking down the road and we were looking down that tunnel, it was a bad looking tunnel, and things were not going to go well. In fact, if things continue to go the way that they were going at that particular stage of our life, they were not going to go well. And I remember my wife, and she's shared this testimony before, so I'm not saying anything in a negative way. But she said to me, she goes, I don't want to be in ministry. We need to get out. And I said to her, I said, okay, I understand that. I said, but what does the Lord want us to do today? She goes, well, I think he wants us in today. I said, well, okay. Then I'll ask her the same thing tomorrow. And that's how we walk, by faith, not by sight. The passage says, do not harden your hearts when they provoked me in the day of the trial of the wilderness. Well, your fathers tried me by testing me. You know, the tendency is to start talking with God in these kind of terms. Well, why don't you just do what I tell you to do, and then maybe I'll follow you. And we start trying God. We start testing God. It's pretty funny that dust would have the audacity to go against God and say, you know, why don't you serve me? But that's the nature of who we are and the arrogance of our heart. Well, your fathers tried me by testing me, and they saw my works for 40 years. Think about that, 40 years. See, 40 is always a picture of the extremity of time. So it is said that you could probably maybe survive 40 days without eating if you just had water, maybe 40 days. So that's kind of the extremity of time. So God is saying, okay, I went the extremity of time with you. And I showed you day after day after day. I mean, you take people in the wilderness, what are they going to do, farm? They're in a desert. Where are they going to find food? Where are they going to find water? I mean, nobody's thinking it's going to come out of a rock. You are absolutely, positively helpless and hopeless. And you have now clearly over a million strong in the desert. Who's going to feed them? 40 years, they were fully taken care of. In fact, God says your sandals didn't even wear out on your feet. Now, all of these are miracles. Nevertheless, not one of them went into the promised land. Think about that. God would preserve a couple as leaders who would walk by faith, but as that generation would literally waste away in the wilderness after seeing all those miracles. So the text is clear. Your fathers tried me. They tested me. They saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry at this generation. And I said, they always go astray. Where? Well, that's where it always begins, isn't it? You want to know why you don't do something today? You're going astray in your heart. And the heart always focuses on, it's the seat of your emotions. It's the seat of your passions. It's the seat of your desires. It is literally the center place of your focus. So what is it you desire? Because if your desire is anything but God, you're not going to make it through the wilderness. You're not going to make it. They always go astray in their heart, for they did not know my ways. More specifically, it is in the experiential gnosko, They did not seek to experience how I think. They did not seek in any way to desire my ways. Their heart was not, I wonder how God sees things. It was more, I want this, and if I don't get this, I'm going to be really upset. They always go astray in their heart. They did not seek to know my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my, underline the word here, rest. A very interesting term that makes, probably if it was described in the Greek, it would literally paint the picture of a calm day without the winds in great turmoil. I think as Isaiah the prophet says, the wicked are like the tossing sea, they can't keep quiet. And it is that picture of the apostles of Christ as they're in the boat and the winds begin to stir up and everybody's afraid. God calms the sea. There is a calm that comes, but it can't come if you won't say today. It can never come. In fact, if you're always in turmoil and always demanding and always coming before God, it's just one more thing that he needs to do. It's just one more hoop that he needs to jump through. You'll never enter into the calmness of God. He's inviting you. The Spirit says, today. Take care, verse 12. Read that with me. Take care. Let's put it another way. Listen carefully. What am I listening carefully to? We'll go back to verse 7. The Holy Spirit's voice. Listen to what he's saying. Listen, as James would say in James chapter 1 and verse 21, to the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. Listen to the word of God. Or as Romans 5 says, verse 5, the love of God, which has been poured out within our hearts. Listen to the Spirit of God. What does he say? I can tell you what he's saying. He's saying, God loves you. Do you not know that I love you? I can hear the Spirit. I mean, after all the noise and all the difficulties that come in my life, if I would just be quiet, I can hear God say, now, son, you know I love you. Because the love of God has been poured in my heart. I mean, I hear the Spirit of God. 2 Corinthians 3:8 puts it this way. How shall the ministry of the Spirit fail to be of even more glory? It says in 2 Corinthians 3:6, for the Spirit gives life. I recognize the Spirit of God. If I just would be still and listen. His voice is telling me, I got this. I can hear it. I can hear him. He is declaring to me that he does love me and he will not leave me nor forsake me. Isn't that Hebrews 13? Christ will never leave you nor forsake you. It is that voice that continues to ring in my heart. If I just would stop and listen. Take care, brother, that there not be in any one of you an evil. See, I'll tell you what's really easy to do when I'm in the desert is I begin to get critical. I start grumbling. I start complaining. One of the ways that I know I'm not listening to the voice of God is that's what I start doing. And everything becomes hard and laborious and impossible. And even though the blessings of God are raining all around me, I don't see them. The only thing I see is I'm not getting what I wanted. And it becomes an injurious, the word actually there, poneros, an injurious heart. I begin hurting myself. An evil, if the phrase would be described, an unbelieving heart. That is to say, refusing to believe that God loves you. Why are you refusing to believe that? Why are you sitting back going, okay, I know what you're saying, but I'm just working on it. Today. Today the Spirit says, stop. Today. Today, if you hear his voice, don't refuse to believe your Father loves you. Don't refuse to believe that he's bringing you into rest and peace. Don't. An evil, unbelieving heart. Watch the phrase. That falls away. See? That word is really depicting that I am departing or withdrawing from God. I mean, maybe you don't even feel it, but you're backing away from God. What's happening? You're not rejoicing. You're not trusting. Take care, lest you begin to depart from, watch the phrase here, the living God. Ours is not a dead orthodoxy. Ours is not about repetitive liturgy or liturgy. Ours is not a rigorous devotion of do's and don'ts. Ours is not about tradition. It is not about superficial holidays. None of those things could ever get you through a very difficult time. They just couldn't. But ours is a faith in the living God. And I can tell you, when the voice of the living God speaks in my heart, let me tell you what happens. Life. I mean, the very phrase connotates that he stirs up within us a strength and an energy that is alive. Something that is efficacious, something that is enlivening, but more specifically, as Hebrews will go on to say, something that is real. And I'll begin to work in the realm of what is real rather than the realm of what is fake, because all of this stuff here is not real. All of this stuff is fake. But I can tell you this, that God's love will never leave me, never forsake me. Everything else will go away, but not his love. And it does not matter what happens. According to Romans chapter 8, nothing can separate me from the love of God. Nothing. Not angels, as he's already talked about in Hebrews. Not principalities and powers. Not difficult times. Not even good times. The Spirit of God keeps telling me, today, we're going to walk with him. So, encourage one another, verse 13. Strengthen one another. We oftentimes use the word parakaleo in terms of come alongside of those that are believers, holy brethren, as he describes us in chapter 3, verse 1. Come alongside of each other and entreat one another. Encourage one another in the sense of, well, being there every day for them. The phrase reads this way, but encourage one another day after day. It's a superlative in the Greek. It actually refers to each and every day. Why? Because, you know, the spirit of faithfulness is so daily, isn't it? The spirit of faithfulness is each and every day. It just doesn't stop. It's a continuum. It's not interrupted. It is the Spirit of God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it's still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Could you underline that little phrase, deceitfulness of sin? Paul will write something similar in Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll talk about the deceitfulness of sin. The tendency is to think that the sin is the deceitfulness, but that's not true. You misunderstand the emphasis of the word itself. It's telling us that the deceitfulness makes us want to sin. That is to say, there are lies out there, and the lies really are lies of deception that excite our lust. Lies that tell you that immediate gratification is far better than waiting for something. It's that lie, if it's perpetuated long enough, we begin to believe it. And Scripture talks about the passing pleasures of sin. But the point is that they're so immediate. And if you're in the desert, and if you're in the wilderness, and if you're going through difficult times, that is exactly the lie that we want to hear. And that's what allures us to sin. Because it's promising us some sort of hope today. Today it's promising us hope. And that's what we're looking for. So it's inducing us, promising us a quick fix. I think in some cases people are looking for that proverbial back door solution. You know, if there is a place where you can kind of go around the back door and hopefully everything will be okay, instead of just doing things the right way. God is saying today, if you hear his voice. That's why it's so important not to go into that realm. Because we are so much into that quick fix and that immediate gratification that we begin to perceive all sorts of other things. And God is saying, okay, but you're missing the point. Because the only way you can get relief is if today you hear his voice. It's not through going to those different things. It's by hearing his voice today. You want immediate gratification? I'll give you immediate relief today if you hear his voice. Strange. We would go to almost everything and anything else other than God than to listen to his voice. This is why it's so important that Scripture tells you that you meditate on his word day and night so that today you can hear his voice. And allow his voice to move you today to the right thing, to cause you to do the right thing today. Now let me just talk to all of you in a very personal way. We all have things that we're quote unquote working on. But what is the Spirit of God telling you? Can you not hear him say today? Can you not hear him say, you know, that person that you're so angry about, you know what I told you to do. You know I told you to forgive him. Okay. Today, you hear him? Really? Can you hear? I can hear him. Because the Spirit of God is telling me that I need to love the brethren today. And the Scripture is telling me that I need to let go of certain things. When? Today. Do you not hear the voice? Can you not hear his voice? Father, we bow for prayer today. Ours is not a dead orthodoxy. Ours is a living, breathing God. Breathing within our hearts. We have received the living Son, Jesus Christ, the resurrected one, the eternal one, the enduring one. We hear him say, don't give up today. Do not grow weary in well-doing today. Get right with me today. Make right those things that you did wrong today. I will not delay in obeying your commandments. You know what that is? That's the spirit of real in your hearts. Because the spirit of delay is always fake. There is no divine in procrastination. Father, you see our hearts. You know our lives. We all wrestle with different things, and yet in many respects, the same. We find ourselves in frustration and upset, worry and despair, feeling like we can't last another day, running out of energy, unable to endure. Little did we know we had been listening to the wrong voices. But today we listen to your voice. We can hear you say in our hearts, believe me, this is not for your bad. This is for your good. Believe me. All of these are a result of my love for you. I'm never going to leave you. You're never going to be left high and dry. Look around you. Look how I've taken care of you all along. Don't leave me now. Stay. Dearly beloved, I can vouch that if it were not for that voice of the Spirit of God in my heart, I would not have stayed. I would not have endured. I would not have remained. But I can't stop hearing it. You pray a sunny place.
Jesus is tenderly calling you home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love do you roam farther and farther away? Calling today, calling today. Jesus is tenderly calling you today. Jesus is pleading. List to his voice, hear him today, hear him today. For they who believe on his name shall rejoice, quickly arise and away. Hey. today.
Father, we are so thankful for your faithfulness to us. And as we see your Son on the cross, his physical declaration, today salvation has come to you. And he was faithful in all of his house. And you have implanted that same spirit within me. As I have received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, you have endowed me with the spirit of faithfulness. And I cannot refuse you. I cannot forsake. I will not abandon. Not because of my strength, but because your voice speaks to me. And Lord, may we proclaim that voice to our fellow brethren as we all struggle in many ways. Let us encourage one another every single day. Don't give up. Don't grow weary. God is faithful. And we do this in Jesus' name. Amen.